And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this great privilege to sit at your feet to hear your word. The psalmist says, I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Such is my case and our case this evening. We are glad that we are here in your presence. There is no other better place to be but in your presence. Thank you for even giving us the hunger to come to your presence. Thank you for making us will to come to your presence. Thank you for making us able to come in. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your children sit together once again to draw from you, I ask that no one will leave here empty. In the mighty name of Jesus, fill us up, O God. Let our expectations not be cut short. Cause your word to shine a light into us and cause that our eyes may be opened. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone here live with new directions for life. Let questions be answered and let hard sayings be demystified. We vow to return all the glory to you. Take all the glory and all the honor. For in Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Okay, today we are still going to continue with Daniel chapter 2. This time, we'll read through Daniel chapter 2 from verse 1 to the end.
In the second year of his reign,
which verse are you reading, please?
NIV.
NIV, go ahead. Thank you.
In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king, May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. The king replied to the astrologers, This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more, they replied. Then the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it. Then the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things. Hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king. However, great and mighty has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, Why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means."
God bless you. 26 down to 49.
The king asked Daniel.
Verse 26. Okay, go ahead.
The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may also understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there, before you stood a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were washing, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. And now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixed with clay. In the time of those things, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. Verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jam those hands together for Jesus. Amen. Some of you may be wondering why we needed to read all this. It's because it's called Word Banquet. This is not a Sunday service where we are rushing. My idea of Bible study is that we'll settle down and read the Bibles, read the scripture, and get out the meat from it. That is what Bible study is supposed to be. Precept upon precept, line upon line, so that we learn as much as possible. You will see that a lot of things has been said and it's quite bulky, but let me see how much and how fast I can condense this. So please pay rapt attention. From verse 1 to 11 shows that in life, there will always arise situations that goes beyond human capacity. And I said, yeah, and you better have a way around the spiritual, else you will be greatly disadvantaged. I'm sure when you saw from verse 1 to 11, suddenly a king woke up one day from his dream. Does it make sense? And say that he had a dream, but he has forgotten the dream. If you forgot the dream, then relax and pray that God should give you the dream again. No. He says that dream is significant. I forgot it. Why am I paying all the magicians, all the astrologers, and all the wise men? So gather all of them, come to my palace. They summoned them. They were expecting a banquet. And he told them, ladies and gentlemen, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had just had a dream. It doesn't even make sense. And I honestly, why he said I had a dream, all of them, I was okay, tell us the dream, tell us the dream. But I just said, okay, sir, go ahead. Because he used to tell them before. But this time he says, sorry, I forgot the dream. I say, okay, forgot the dream, okay. So what next? Now he says, you must remind me that dream and tell me the interpretation or else all of you will die. Doesn't even make sense. As I was reading this afternoon again, I began to ask myself let me just remind us, the reason why we are studying Daniel is to give us the idea of how a Christian should relate in the world of our own today. The book of Daniel is showing us how Christians who are pilgrims are able to relate with the world of today, how they are able to interface with the world of today. So when you go to work, these are things you see. Suddenly, they are demanding very strange things in the office. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't even make sense. But in the ones they demand from us at work, they've never actually threatened us with life. What's it called? With life sentences or killing us. They just tell us to go and do certain things in the office. That doesn't make, you are wondering, but sir, this is wrong. This is wrong. In this case, the king told them, if you cannot interpret, no, remember or remind me the dream and interpret it, all of you will be dead. And if you know anything about the kings of those days, you will know he's not joking. In fact, I'm sure I sense that they would have taken one or two persons' head first and removed it. You don't believe it? Because they were already looking for Daniel. I think they have gotten one or two. They are now saying, okay, where is that Daniel? They are going to cut off his head. And you will realize that this guy is also said to the king, look at verse 8. Where is that place now? Verse 10. The astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. Verse 11. What the king asks is too difficult. I recall telling us the last time we discussed is that every time we see situations that look so impossible to deal with in the natural or look so difficult, it is not a time to complain. The natural instinct of man is to start complaining. The next thing you want to do is to form an aluta. Let's gather. Let's start protesting. No, that is the wrongest way to think. Why? Because every time there's a situation like this, it means God is about to promote his own. Honestly, part of the things I've learned from this is that every time there is a difficult situation in life, don't ever think it was meant to frustrate you. I want you to always know that it was meant to actually promote you. There is a point where astrologers can do things. Remember, when Moses came to Pharaoh and dropped his rod, what happened? It turned to what? Snake, right? All those magicians say, not only this one you get. They brought their own and did what? And threw it too. To show Moses that everything you have, we have it. So what happened? Moses' snake suddenly did was swallowed up all their rods, all the snakes. Glory be to God. So every time God wants to distinguish his children, he throws up impossible situations that look so difficult. Every time God wants to enrich his children, he throws up economic situations that look so impossible and look so problematic. But the unfortunate thing is that God's children begin to complain the loudest. We are the ones who make noise and begin to form like we are victims. You are in this country when, let me not use that, but it's a political matter. When they brought two people from the same religion and made them president and vice. Christians began to say, hey, they want to Islam. Are you getting what I'm saying? This thing is against us. They want to do this. They want to do that. Do you know, I was in this country when CBN introduced PVN. I was already a banker then. Many Christians said that thing is Antichrist. 666. No, Asak. Never allow yourself to get into that victimization trap. Some people in this country believe they are their minority and they are being marginalized. We are being marginalized. Everything is against you. They are marginalizing you. Why do you think that way? I hate that thinking of a victim. For Daniel, he could have started complaining. This is what I'm saying. This king is so wicked and heartless. This king is so useless. Is it not? That is what many Christians will do. But no, it is not for Daniel. I want to let you know that those situations that look so difficult are the way by which God promotes his children. When it looks like everything is getting tough, the question to ask is, Lord, where is the way out? Because there is always a way out, but most times we keep crying about lack of water, not knowing that the well is just beside you. I have told certain people that the blessings you are seeking is not far from you. Trust me. You see that blessing you are seeking? The open doors, the favor? They are not very far. Most times they are around you. The wife you want to marry is not going to come from somewhere. You have met that person. It's around you. The husband. I'm telling you. Think about it. Most times they are around you. But we are very good at looking for things in Sokoto. Meanwhile, they are in our Sokoto. Glory be to God. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I am not a victim. Shout and say, neighbor, I am not a victim. On such occasions, never join the world to complain. Rather, that's the point. Look up to heaven where your help comes from. Psalm 121 verse 1. I will look to where the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If your father is God and he created heaven and earth, will he create situations that will bring you to a disadvantage? It's not possible. During this last convention, I had the opportunity again, after a long while, to be in the same room with my children for at least 3 days or 4 days. We're in the same room. I began to observe these children again. I began to observe them, and I discovered the kind of love I have towards my kids. I could practically touch the love flowing. On Friday night, when we had the convention, that's Friday Holy Ghost service, Holy Ghost night, we went to the arena, and they were lying down. And I could feel the cold. If you were in the new auditorium, 3x3, see that cold. If you saw that, I knew how I was feeling. At some point, we had to come close to cover them, my wife and I. And suddenly, I just told my wife, saying, if I love my children this much, I imagine the kind of love Jesus has for me. I'm telling you. And the Bible says, if ye being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. If I feel this so much love towards these children, I imagine that Jesus loves me. So it's not possible for him to create a situation that will put me in a disadvantage. So every time there's a problem, stop doing as if you are the victim. You are not the victim. Glory be to God. So we jump to verse 14 to 19. Verse 14 to 19. You will notice something there. That Daniel asked for time from the king because he was confident that God will answer. Do you have such confidence in your God that when you pray, he will answer you? Can you tell someone, relax, I want to go and pray about it. I'll get back. And you are sure he will answer you. I tell men, before you get married, ensure you have a relationship, working relationship with God. So that when an issue arises at home, you are not the first to get perplexed. You can tell your wife, relax. I will talk to God about it. I'm sure it will be done. Can you confidently say, give me time? Daniel came to the king and said, please, relax. Give me time. Do you know why? Do you know why? Do you know why? That was not the first time. Many of you begin to seek the face of God when it's time to get married. Suddenly, you want to know the will of God when it's time to do what? Get married. You want to emergency. Some of you don't study your Bible and pray until I approach you one day, like I'll soon start doing very soon, and tell you, Sister Eunice, we are preaching on Wednesday. The first that happens that is, hey, I've seen that kind of reaction of pastor. Many people don't know what it means to study their Bible and pray at home. You will be shocked. You will be shocked. Until suddenly a situation arises. They want to cook up something that does not exist. Church, I want to challenge you. Like Daniel, have a working relationship with Jesus. It is something beyond the pulpits. It's not about preaching to someone. It's about life. For you to survive in life. This guy was in Babylon. He had a working relationship with the master. So when his life was under, listen, it's under pressure that we know what you are made of. He was under pressure. The first thing that came to his mind, come on, this thing we can handle it. King, give us time. You know why? This is not the first time. They've been doing it before. It has been working. I want to ask you, what is your formula for life? When you under pressure, do you have... Meanwhile, when he told the king, give me time, you know what he did? He went back home to tell his friends. I don't want to ask you who are your friends. I don't want to ask you that question. Let's not enter that one this night. But I've told us the last time that if we tell you to call 2-3 people who are your best friends, and you call people who don't have any spiritual taste for life, you are wrong. In fact, you are living a very risky life. I just gave you a testimony this month, this evening, before I started preaching. It was one of us from my prayer group. Suddenly shows up, my sister-in-law is down with cancer. And she could bring it to a particular place. We said, what, cancer? We started praying. That was the last prayer we did. And I just got the testimony now. When you are hit, if you are hit with cancer today, who will you call? Don't tell me, Pastor. There is something they call companions. I whispered to my wife in the car. I said, anyone who doesn't have a coven is on a long thing. Even witches have covens. You know why? He knows alone he can't do much. And I'm not talking about waiting for problems to happen. I'm saying living a normal life. Daniel knew that his companions, every time they prayed, God answered. And so he said, don't worry, give me time. Give me time on this matter. He could say that because he had a working relationship. It means Daniel had a track record with God. This confidence could not have come from an emergency consecration that erupted at the spur of the moment. No, it was not an emergency consecration. When you heard that David was anointed king, sir, it was not on that day that they brought the oil and said, well, let's wait for him. That was not the day. When God came to do his search, David didn't even know he was being searched. I hope you know what I'm saying. It is not on the day they pour oil on your head and say you are a deacon. No, sir. There is something you must have with Jesus in the secret that others don't have. Oh, my God. There has to be a way you will go into the secret place and you have this thing you do with Jesus alone. There is a name you know when you call him, something erupts inside of you. I am talking about men who have a standard walk with God, who bring that thing to bear in the marketplace when there is problems. Speaking in tongues is not only to cast out demons. Sir, at times there are hard things in the office. There are hard things, subjects, courses that look so hard for you to do. And you say, give me time. You tell your colleagues, give me, I will explain this thing. You take it back to your closet. When you come out, you have answers to the questions of life. Glory be to God. If you check from verse 20 to 23, let's go to that place, 20 to 23, just to remind us again. Daniel said, when the thing was revealed to Daniel. Okay, first of all, verse 18 and 19 shows that when he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Look at verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. If you look at the King James Version, it says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel. It means if they did not put pressure in asking from God, that mystery will not be revealed. Many of you trust that when you call your pastor, call your mother, Call your father. He will answer you. But you don't trust God. You will tell me, Pastor, no, I trust God. You don't trust God. In fact, you trust your doctors more than you trust God. That's what I think. I think you trust your family doctor more. Because when you have a little thing, instead of you to call on the God that you know, you will rather say, wait, I want to call the doctor. And I mean, I don't have a problem with calling doctors. I don't have a problem with calling your friends. You are in final year. You have a plan. Your uncle told you, when you graduate, there is a job waiting for you at NMPC. How many of us have that kind of promise? Your uncle is ED, Zenith Bank. Your uncle is the general manager. Your uncle that can go to work on Monday and they will tell him, sir, you have been sacked. You don't even know life. If God wants to help you, if he wants to really help you, he will make that your uncle, they will sack him. You're not getting it. God is a jealous God, guys. See, it's not about seeking God. It's about seeking him first. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I said it's not about seeking God. It's about seeking what? First, it's important who is the primary person you call in trouble. Listen, look up. Everybody always resorts to prayer when all else have failed. Have you noticed? Since all the doctors have tried, it didn't work. Everybody, so my sister, can we now go and pray? Why? I made up my mind that my first port of call will be God. Because it's not about calling him, it's about calling him first. Many of you are so skillful that you believe in your skill. You believe, when I think through this problem, I will get the solutions. Listen, when God wants to help you, he will frustrate that flesh in you. I don't want to enter into the matter of flesh, but I want you to know that the flesh has been judged. Oh, the Bible says there is nothing profitable of the flesh. For the flesh profits nothing. It means that God has put the flesh in a scale and found out that it profits nothing. When there was trouble, Daniel called his friends so that they will pray. Not call them for connection. He's called them, guys, can we ask God this night? And the Bible says the moment they did, then the mystery was revealed to him at night. I don't know the situation you are in your life currently, your family, your work, your career, your business. You have called everybody. You have not called God. I came to remind you to call him. At times, I wonder how Jesus has been ignored so much. He will just be looking and say, look at this one I created. This one I love so much. Yet, when he's in trouble, and listen, I have noticed that God is excited. He wants to show himself mighty and strong on your behalf. But unfortunately, you don't call him. You know why? Because you believe so much that you can solve this problem outside of him. If there is any other plan you have apart from prayer in solving challenges, I want to tell you, you are trusting the flesh, what is called the arm of flesh. I am saying that a pastor can be so good with talking that he may not even necessarily need to pray again to come and preach. You know why? He's now a professional pastor. Do you know we have professional pastors? Give me the mic. In fact, they even have topics, plenty topics stored up already. So that you don't think I'm talking about, you can become so professional that you don't need anymore to call God. Everything that makes you rely on anything apart from God is called the arm of flesh. And the Bible says, by flesh, by the arm of flesh shall no man prevail. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Verse 20 to 23, Daniel's prayers show that God can reveal any secret to his beloved ones if we simply ask. I have thought about the subject of prayer so much. I came to the conclusion that you will struggle so much in life if you do anything apart from prayer. Prayer is a statement to the spirit that you are eternally dependent on a power beyond you. Listen, if we leave you and you try to do... See, I know many of you say, I depend on God. Listen. I used to say like that. I used to talk like that too. But I'm teaching you how to depend on God practically. The only means to depend on God practically is to have a functional prayer life. I can tell you categorically. Listen, if we check how you live life in 3 days and you don't factor in prayer in that your 3 days, don't say you are depending on God. You are not depending on Him. Bishop Oyedepo said one day God told him to look up and look down at once. Told him try. He tried. He said look up and look down. He tried. He wasn't working. He now told him, is it possible to look up and look down? He says no. He said that is how it is. You cannot be looking at man and claim that you are looking at God. Stop saying you are trusting God, sir. When what you are trusting is your uncle. The career you are doing, the job you are currently doing, you didn't ask, oh, someone gave birth to a child in Bama saying, I asked him of the Lord. Is it not? It means that God is expecting that everything your life will produce will be as a result of what the Father is doing. You know, for Jesus, He will wake up very early in the morning to go and pray. You know why? He knows that unless he sees the Father do, he cannot do anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? He knows every other person can try to do something, but for him, the only thing he, Jesus, can do is what he sees the Father do. So if the Father is not doing, he cannot do. The reason why there are many, many troubles in people's lives is because they are doing when the Father is not doing. That is the surest way to bring frustration to your life. And I'm telling you, both in business and career, can I challenge you? Whenever you want to start a new business, it's a new year. Can you, apart from what the church is doing, can you take out time to cry to God? Can you take out 7 days, 3 days? As you enter a new month, can you take out some time off? Just to cry and tell him, Lord, I am helpless without you. Because many of you say you are helpless in your mouth without him, but yet you don't show it. Can my wife say she loves me when she doesn't spend time with me? That's a joke. You are joking. Many of us say we love you. Holy Spirit, I love you. You only do that when you come to church to cry. In your closet, you don't have any regard for him. There are many secrets that man require to get ahead in life. Every day and in every industry. I dare you to ask God. What rules the world is mysteries and secrets. And God is the custodian of these mysteries and secrets. He wants to reveal it to his own children. Unfortunately, his children decide they can run without him. Now look up. Do you know for those who are unbelievers, they understand too, they cannot run life apart from him, apart from spiritual help. So some of them, I've listened to some of these documentaries on Fela, and I've heard a lot of things, that if they want to get songs, what do? They smoke and go, aah! And suddenly they start hearing sounds, true of us. Then what makes you think you can, your brain, your normal mind can produce something? And he seeks it, and the world is chasing it. He went somewhere high to get it. You don't know. Some of them take drugs. They do things that will make them leave this world, this realm. And they begin to download songs. But for you as a Christian, who sings in the choir, who does things around here, you believe that, no, after eating akpu on Saturday, and early morning you come here to quickly rush down and eat rice, You will now come and pick mic and anointing will flow. You are just playing. I've told some of you here that witchcraft, they will not even accept you because they will say you are not disciplined enough. You cannot even, even witches are more disciplined. I'm telling you. I'm not joking, though. Witches are more disciplined, very disciplined. You want to eat Santana, do all those things, then come here and the power will move. Get serious. So verse 24 to 30, even before the king, Daniel acknowledged the source of the revelation and solutions he brought. Very important. When you begin to get on TV, listen to this. When you begin to get TV attention, remember that God is your source. Acknowledge him before the world to show what he can do. If he did it, then flaunt it. Stop pretending that you did it yourself. God hates to share his glory. Many Christians feel embarrassed to call Jesus in some places. They feel he's not professional. I've seen that a lot. Christians like to pretend. No, what will they say? Okay, God gave you the inspiration. When you come out in front, tell them, Jesus did it. No, you won't say it. Daniel got before the king and told the king, I am not so wise. I didn't get it because I'm wise. He said, because there's a God who reveals secrets. He began to praise the God of heavens, of heaven. But for you, when you get on TV, they put you on TV, you now begin to explain. You know, you have to aspire, to require and refire. You start speaking all those English. I'm telling you, look at this one. Why are you deceiving? When God has something with you in secret and shows up to prove himself in public, please acknowledge that he did it. One of the ways to remain relevant is to keep acknowledging who the doer of the work is. He hates with disdain to share his glory. He hates with disdain. God hates it. He doesn't share his glory with any man. If there's any great thing you have accomplished in life, I want you to humble yourself and say it is God who did it. Say it with pride. All flesh is grass, man. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Verse 31 to 45, the king's dream and interpretation was given by Daniel. So I want to dwell on that. Let's go to 46 to 47. 46 to 47 shows the king worshipped. Oh, put up verse 46. Do you know that the king prostrated? The king Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate. What does it mean to fall prostrate? Flat. Do you know what will happen for Donald Trump to fall prostrate? That thing must be awesome. The king worshipped and acknowledged the God of Daniel. Have you noticed? He, before Daniel, and paid him honor and ordered that an offering. Okay, I wish I could get the King James Version. To show you that the NIV, is this NIV? Let me check. The king prostrated before the God of Daniel. The king worshipped and acknowledged the God of Daniel because he saw Daniel display his God so brightly. That's where I'm going to. When the king fell before Daniel, he was not bowing before Daniel, he was bowing before the God of Daniel because Daniel had told him already, it is my God who did this. When you shine so brightly before men, remember that God gave you the light. It's also important to know that powerlessness will make us portray God as powerless. Yes. Daniel was able to tap into his God to produce such excellence, and he brought God worship. Let your light shine before what? Men. Is it not? That they may see your what? Good works and do what? And glorify God. Not you. They will glorify who? God. So if you refuse your light from shining, you choose this powerlessness by your careless attitude towards spiritual things. Where you are supposed to make God shine brightly, you will bow your head in shame. And on that day, it will look like darkness had more power than heaven. What a pity. Can you imagine what would have happened if Esther kept quiet? The Jews would have been slaughtered. And on that day, it would look like God. There's nothing he can. Let me remind you what happened between Saul and David. Do you know that for many nights, Goliath was making noise. Produce a man amongst you. Who will fight me? Produce a man, including Saul, was hiding. Are you aware? On that day, God was put to shame. But guess what? Heaven was looking, because the guy has spoken so many rubbish. Heaven was looking for an excuse to kill this man. Listen, even if a child came out with small stone to just challenge him and do anything, that guy will fall. Listen, heaven will not do on earth what earth is supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? In heaven, Goliath was a dead man, but nobody could step out courageously to face him. Do you think it's catapults that killed that thing that killed Goliath? Heaven was looking for anybody that came with anything, even spoon, we kill him. I'm not joking. God was, the guy has said many things. Angels had positioned his head. Can anybody just throw even spoon to this man's head here? But everybody was afraid. Why? On the day of battle, it's only those who know their God that will be strong and do exploits. That knowing is not how to spell G-O-D. I've said it here before. It is those who have koinonia, who know him intimately. Because in their intimate interactions with him, he has shown them certain things. So they know. They are not afraid of death. You know why? Because they have seen. I have told us in this show before, when you hear somebody fell and died, it cannot be me. And I'm not telling you this thing out of pride. I'm saying because of the things we have seen. There is something they call the knowing of revelation and the sight of affection. There is something God will show you. You will know you can't die now. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need to journey in God until you see something that will make you face Goliath, because you know this Goliath, you can't kill me. Why? I have dealt with lions and bears. They couldn't kill me. This one will not kill me. That is not motivation. Listen, it's not motivational speech. Oh. It is an experience a man has in God by his intercourse with divinity. When we put on strength in God, we shine before the world. We are the epistles men read about our God. Nebuchadnezzar, can you go and preach to him, Jesus loves you? No. But on this day, he said, Jesus is Lord. Do you know why? He saw what passed his own power. Are you getting what I'm saying? Once we preach the gospel easily in the marketplace, it's not your English. All this, your everybody must pray in the office. You are using prayer to threaten everybody. It's not, we don't actually need it in the office like that. No. We need you to be firebrand so that you can produce solutions that will make them ask you, what do you belong to? There is something about you. We need you to produce solutions that the marketplace need. Then they will ask, how are you doing this thing? Then you will now tell them about your God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not necessarily every Tuesday we must pray in this office. It's okay to do all that. But I'm saying what is more important in the marketplace is the brightness of your God that you produce by your koinonia in the secret place. So that when there is a hard saying, a hard problem in the office, they can call you, call Solomon, he knows what to do. And Solomon shows up and says, give me time. And goes back and returns back maybe the next day and says, this is the solution. They will ask you, how did you get this? How do you decode it? Why? From the intercourse you've had with your God. We have too many noisemakers in the marketplace. Finally, verse 48 to 49. Verse 48 to 49. When we make God shine in his brightness, you know, his brightest color, we cannot be obscure because we have to shine with him. That was why the king began to lavish gifts. Have you noticed? Gifts. Let me tell you the truth. The reason why you have not developed your prayer life and your intimate relationship with God is because you don't know that your economics, like money, is tied to it. Some of you don't know yet. Imagine that your boss has a problem with his wife, or something's about to happen, his career, they're about to sack him. And you go to pray, and the Lord shows it to you. And you say, excuse me, sir, I want to see you in the morning. Sister, while I was talking to God yesterday night, he told me to tell you this, this, and this. I think you should do this, this. First of all, when you told him what is happening in his life, he said, wow, how do you know? He said, no, don't worry. Don't worry. Do this, this, this. This will avert this. And he does it and it's averted. Do you think he will threaten you anymore? Talk to me now. Do you think he will threaten you anymore? If he's the owner of the company, are you aware that you can get promotion because of that? You are not taking your spiritual life seriously because you think it's about preaching. It's about singing in the choir. I'm telling you. Sir, when Daniel went to look for the interpretation of that whatever he saw, Baba, he was fighting for his life first. Are you aware? His plan was not he'll become rich. But after that interpretation, what happened? The king loaded him with gifts. Spirituality is an advantage. I'm telling you. I am telling you from experience. I can't share certain things here. All this, hey, if you enter the office, people they die. You come in and say, who die where? I'm here now. Nothing spoils here. And it's not just both or like many of you that don't have anything backing you. Also, I'm talking maybe slap. See, let me not tell you those ones. I'm telling you practically. It's not those that know their God because you can quote Psalm 23. No, it's not about Psalm 23. I saw something on YouTube yesterday. Lawrence Oyo was talking about Sam, Pastor, I mean Reverend Sam, Ajemotobi, that man's name, I can't remember his name now. He said there were eight of them that went with him on a mission to go and do some a village evangelism. When they came back that same night, eight of them died. They went with Pastor Samson, Reverend Samson. Eight people died. When the guy heard it, the guy came and raised eight of them again back to life. Listen carefully. Eight of them died. Are you listening? Leave the part of that he raised them. They died. Eight died. I am sure they wanted to kill all of them, including the ninth one, the man. Why couldn't they kill him? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Spiritual things are real. When we make God shine in his brightest color, we also become richer. It brings wealth. And finally, Daniel remembered his friends before the king. Look at verse 48. No, verse 49. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed who? Shadrach, can you see it? Meshach and Abednego, administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Look up. If you want to travel far, travel with your company. If you want to travel fast and break on, go alone. However, you are not alone. You are the face of a group. You need to learn this thing. You are not what? Alone. I hope you know that when you see Pastor Adeboye, I hope you know that people laboring under him. Are you aware? Are you aware? It will be wrong that when you've come before the king, you suddenly forgot that you are not alone. If you make the mistake to go in alone, they will kill your lights. Part of my vision in life is to raise men and women so that when we get to those places of power, we will bring in our people. Listen, it's not a crime, sir. If I become president, I will not go and bring one alpha. I'm sorry. I will bring men who understands praying in tongues when it's time. Because if you go in alone, they will extinguish you easily. You must come in with your company. And that's why I am very particular at looking for professionals who are Holy Ghost filled. When I see, listen, we are not many. I can tell you, we are not many. It's unfortunate I'm saying this, but we are not many. So when I see anyone who has this thing, this Holy Ghost, and all of us are wearing suits and tie, and I touch him, the person tells me, shaka taka, you know this thing. I feel like I've met my my kinsman. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because we must be many. We cannot go in alone to see the king. These people will finish you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when we are many, we have a critical mass. That is something they call a quorum in the realm of the spirit. You have a critical mass of people in that your company, in that your office. Don't play with them. When God raises you, don't forget them. That's what I'm saying. Make sure that people who suffered with you in the trenches, when it's time to die with kings, ensure you mention their names in those places. Don't pretend and be keeping quiet. No, mention their names. Where you have power, bring it. That's why every time I have an opportunity, the first thing that goes to my mind is church, Noah's Ark. I'm thinking of church first. I'm telling you the truth, how my mind works. Because I believe when we are many, a critical mass, we can take it for Jesus. But when you go alone, you are disadvantaged. Can you close your eyes? Ask the Lord to help you. I am sure he will raise us up. I'm not doubting. I'm sure, very sure of that. I am not sweating for nothing. I am discipling men who become light bearers in the marketplace. And that is my greatest mission in life. I want to raise men who are upwardly mobile, who know the Lord and can rule their world. When we get to that place, we will not be alone. Oh, a songwriter said, we will be many. There is a reason why he sang that song. We'll be many that call upon Jesus. We'll be many that call upon him. We'll be many. We will not be few. Oh, we will not break our ranks. We will not be few. We'll be many that call upon his name. We'll wear ties and suits in the marketplace, but we shall be men who know how to conjure something from heaven. So that when trouble comes, we can hold our hands together and we'll stand together. Because there'll be trouble. There'll be trouble in the coming days. But we must be many. Can you ask the Lord? This is the only thing I want to pray. Ask the Lord, Father, make us many. Make us many. Make us many, oh God. Make us many. Make us many. We'll be many. We don't want to be few. We'll be many, oh God. Make us many. I wish you would get the burden in my heart. And I wish you will pray. Make us many, O God. We shall be many.